Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Schenk, otherwise known as Moo, and Moonvine, or Joan Adams, and I host this show. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Our guest this evening is Amy Flynn, otherwise known as All About Energy. Amy is a spiritualist in her own right. She channels energy from the spiritual grid, or as I spontaneously call it, the grid of spiritual awareness. And we will also discuss the new crystalline grid. And we will also discuss the shift. So let me bring on our dear Amy Flynn. Hello, Amy. Let me just see here. Hi, Amy. Hey, I can hear you now. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. And let me just bring Joan on here a second.
Okay.
Hello, Joan. Hello, Joan. I think that... she is momentarily in the grid. So how are you this evening?
I'm just fine. How about yourself?
Great. And we've been looking forward to this because it's just one of those cosmic awareness kinds of experiences, I think.
Yes.
Yes. And we had a few moments to speak before the show began, and I think that some of the things we touched upon were highly fascinating, like being fully connected at all times to cosmic awareness, no matter what you do in the world.
Uh-huh.
And that there is no delineation of planets. That's very, very interesting.
Right.
And yes, yes.
And no delineation between us and our own planet.
Us and our own planet? How about all the other planets?
Same thing. I mean, everything is one. So, I mean, it's all, I guess you could say, an illusion or a projection that everything is separate and that there's separate entities, separate planets, separate solar systems and galaxies and whatever. It's also an illusion that the Earth and us are separate.
Yeah.
We're not separate. It's like the Earth is an extension of us, and we are an extension of the Earth. And that's why, if you notice, as we are going through these growing pains, these expanding pains, and things are shifting within our experience on the planet, and things seem to be in turmoil, what's happening with
yeah.
the Earth? We've got, all of a sudden, we've got these climate changes. We've got more earthquakes. We've got more volcanoes. We have some tsunamis, things like that. Hurricanes
yes.
are becoming more active. So it's not an accident or a coincidence.
Right.
It's just a different expression of the same being, of an aspect of the same being going through the same things.
And that we are all the same. We are.
Uh-huh.
There's only one of us here.
Uh-huh, yes. Yes.
Now, of course, there's the Earth changes theory that says that the reason we're having all these tsunamis and earthquakes and all of this is because, I guess because, the ozone layer, that's it. And I always thought that it's possible and probably very probable, but there's more to it than that.
Yeah, because it's very cyclical. And what's very interesting, and a lot of people don't realize this, if you go back and you study paleontology and the cyclical histories of our planet, what you'll notice is there was another period of severe global warming, what we want to call global warming or climate change, but there's actually been several, but of the warming trend, way back during the dinosaur days. And it was so much more severe than what we're experiencing. So, I mean, I'm always laughing because I want to say, well, yes, the dinosaurs. It was all those cars, those giant cars that they were driving at the time.
Well,
and then the other theory is, you know, I guess you could say global warming or climate change is affected by the cows and the gas that the cows expel. Sure. So the dinosaurs must have been expelling giant clouds of gas because their global warming was so much more. It was like probably 50 times more intensive than ours.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is not something that we are doing. It's a normal cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's
mm-hmm.
so funny is that, you know, people with their own interests, you know, want to say, oh, yeah, we're doing it, so we have the solution for it.
Yeah, and it's just cyclical, and everything comes and it goes, hi, Joan, how are you? You finally got
hi.
In.
I'm sorry, I had such a time getting in.
Hi, Joan.
Hi. I'm so glad you're here. I'm learning. I'm totally learning. I know nothing about spiritual grids. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're educating me tonight.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. You know Wendy G. Young.
Of course.
And she, I got the feeling that the two of you were pretty close. And
yeah, we've actually done a call together on the grids. So.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that now. So the spiritual grid is something that we can learn to always connect to and be, well, we are probably connected to it at the heart of it all, but we forget. Is that what you would say? We just forget that we are part of the divine and we think that we are separate, and that's what causes all this human turmoil.
Yes, and this, yes, you could say that we forget. It's kind of like this veil of forgetting. I always think of, you know, that old Get Smart show with Maxwell Smart. They go into the cone of silence to say, we come to the, you know, we create this experience within this planet here, and then we go into this cone of forgetting, you know. But there's a reason for that. Because think about this, we're one being. There's only one being. So that one being wants to experience diversity. It's very boring being one. If you're the only one, there's no one to play with. There's no way for you to experience. Your natural state is joyful. Your natural state is love, love energy. You know, you're light, you're love, and you're filled with joy and just expansive feelings of just happiness and joy. But yet you don't know it's joy because there's nothing to compare it to. For us to know something and experience something, we have to contrast it. To experience tall, we have to contrast it against short. To experience high, we have to contrast it against low. And when you're one and you're, you know, no, there's no duality, there's nothing to contrast it against. So, you know, after a few zillion years, it's very boring. So really, we have created an experience for ourselves. We've created a way for ourselves to experience, I should say ourselves, because there's only one, ourselves to experience ourself as many and to create diversity. And in order to make this real and to experience this completely, we have to not know that if we're looking at someone over there, it's us. But that would, I mean, it would spoil the whole thing. We have to think that they're different than us, they're separate from us, and that we could have opposing ideas and opposing thoughts. And then we can have contrast. And we can have an experience. And then we can say, our true selves experience everything that happens as good, as joyful. The only way we can experience something as joyful. So all these human emotions, all these things that we feel, this up and down, this sadness, this tension, this anxiety, this happiness, this not happiness, this excited, this disappointment, you know, whatever, all this swinging back and forth and this contrast, these are just come out of this kind of illusionary experience that we created. But as far as the divine, the true aspect of ourselves, everything we experience is perfect. Everything's wonderful. I mean, we can walk down the hall, fall down the stairs, break both our legs, be in agony, and our the divine part of us, our true self, is going, "Yay! This is great! This is wonderful! How much fun is this?" Whereas we don't think it's a lot of fun. The gift is, or the wonderful thing is, that at any moment we can connect to that part of ourselves so that we can experience anything we're going through on this broader level and really experience the joy within it, because joy comes from within us. It's this, and the within us is the same as the larger part of us, you know, the whole one being of us. Mm-hmm. So, and we can connect to that at any time. So no matter what we perceive is going on in our lives, we have this kind of like this refuge, this true space we can move into and feel relief.
Yes. It is a sacred space, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Well, we call it sacred, but, you know, is it sacred or what? I mean, are we sacred? I mean, to label
yes.
something sacred, we have to oppose it against something. To see what I mean?
Yes.
You have to contrast it against something else. It's
sure.
what we are. You
yes.
know, to have sacred, you have to have not sacred. So
right.
every time we're labeling something or calling something, it's coming out of this duality and this diversity that we're experiencing.
Yes. And that is tricky.
It is tricky. And the best thing to do with that is to just realize that when you're labeling something or calling something it's something, that's not so in the truest sense. It's a label, and it's a way for you to grasp it or a container in which to hold it, but it's not true per se. What's true is just feelings. It's a feeling. It's an energy, and it's really wordless.
Mm-hmm.
And words don't exist, really. And in other dimensions, higher dimensions and you know, beyond the earth dimensions, there isn't spoken word. There's telepathy, and it's much more accurate. Words are something that is an invention of this whole experience on the earth. And
yeah.
Words are very limiting. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always found it the whole idea that 70% of all communication is telepathy anyway, nonverbal communication.
Right.
And
I understand. Yes.
Yes, and as long as we realize that and learn to fine tune it too, it's a real art form. Not
well,
to always be talking.
That's what makes communication on the internet difficult and wonderful.
Yeah.
Because our words have to be such that people understand them, because they can't see our facial expressions or our...
What's really important of communication on the internet, and it's really clear to me in Twitter, because there's so few words that we're allowed to use, you know, we have
yeah.
to really limit ourselves.
Right.
Is your energy and your intention in creating the message.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's
cool.
Not so
that
much
makes
you
sense.
Have to read it. Your energy travels. Energy is connecting. Energy, you know, your energy is going to get there and really, you know, mean something or penetrate whomever you're trying to communicate to much more than the words. So you can have the same words, and 10 people can write the same exact message with different energies, different intentions, and just being in a different energetic space, and their messages are going to say or be received as 10 different things. Same
yes.
word.
That's true.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit about that together. We have another radio show for giant squids, which Joan and I are members of the Squidoo community, and we've both created 100 lenses, which makes us giant
Whoa.
Squids. Well, giant squids, oh my God. And
I'd say you're definitely giant squid.
And I think there's an energy behind that, too, which I would be interested in your viewpoint on that. But anyway, the whole idea is that when you're reading other people's lenses and you're commenting,
we were talking
about comment etiquette and just to really read the lens, be present, and say things that are really worthwhile as opposed to nice lens, you know, or whatever. And to put your energy, a high-quality sort of energy into everything that you're doing.
Right. And to also allow yourself to feel the energy. See, when you're reading, when you're reading the lens, the person that created the lens created it in a particular energetic space with a particular energetic intention. They may have been conscious of it or not conscious of it. I mean, a lot of people are not consciously competent in this area, but they do it anyway. We are energetic beings. So your job is to show up and to experience the energy of the lens even more than reading the words. The words are there, but it's the energy that you will feel. And then when you respond from that energy, that's when your comment's going to be so meaningful and so perfect and just so amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is really great. So, yes, the whole idea of respect on with the way we come across on the Internet is very important.
Mm-hmm. And being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think all of this gets right back to the whole authenticity thing. You know?
And that's being in touch with your feeling and your energy at the moment.
Right.
I mean, if you're feeling tense and anxious and you're trying to write a really happy post or a really happy tweet, it's going to come across as unauthentic.
Yeah.
Right.
Because your energy doesn't match. See? So your
best
bet is to step back and not do it at the moment if you want to do a happy post and get your energy in that space. Or else write a post that is in line with the energy that you're experiencing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the whole idea that the whole Internet experience is part, don't you think, of this evolving consciousness? We've been talking about that for a while.
It's not that it's hard, it's that it's faster, because you're not impeded by the physical dimension so much.
Yes.
Pure energy. Remember, our true essence is energy. The Internet is energy. It's impulses going down, you know, going across space, going through, you know, lines or channels or whatever. And it's just little blips of energy. It's much more in line with us and really what we are. So there's less stuff in the way. When we communicate something, it's much more it. It's like there's no – when you see somebody – or you give them a physical note. They've got the paper to look at. They got the handwriting. You know, if you're talking to somebody, they're looking. You know, at your they've got this the walls or the I guess you could say the interference or barrier of your body, how you're standing, how you're looking, the expression on your face. None of that's present on the Internet. It's pure energy. So it's a much more direct communication. So the experience of the Internet is it's actually faster. It's moving faster. The Internet is the example or the leading edge. And what happens, I'll give you an analogy. It's like in our physical life, if we physically go talk to somebody and we're exchanging communication and energy that way, it's kind of like turning a tanker ship around. Whereas on the Internet, and especially something that's very light like Twitter with just very few characters, so you can't get too wordy, you got to just really be a lot of energy in your message.
Yeah.
It's like turning a speedboat around, maneuvering a speedboat. One's light and fast and quick, and the other is big and heavy and slow. Same thing. They're going to get to the same place eventually. It's just the process. And when you ride the speedboat, the experience is one of exhilaration and fastness and speed and lightness. And that's why if someone sends out a negative energy, you really feel it. People just really go up in arms over it on the Internet. Whereas that same little bit of something that they might have done in person or even in a handwritten letter or note might not have caused any type of reaction, or they might not have noticed anything. So this
yes,
is,
but the energy of the handwriting though is missing on the internet. And years ago, you know, people used to write letters to each other, and you could get into that full experience, especially the longer the letter. Say the letter was 5 to 10 pages, you would read it and you would put it down and think about it and pick it back up and just continue to read it, and it would, and then as you were, if you would be writing a letter, it would be a whole different same sort of thing as you'd write something and then maybe even cry as you're writing it. The act of handwriting is so different than what we all are experiencing today with this, you know, tapping out stuff and
the act of the handwriting is a slowing down of the energy. Same
uh-huh.
energy, but you're actually taking it and slowing it down.
Yeah.
It's like telepathy is the fastest. Just as, you know, a few words, like, you know, sent, you know, via energy electronically is, you know, fast too. Writing something is longer. You're slowing this energy down. Well, as we are moving towards this, you know, whole dimensional shift and energy shift on the planet, which we're actually immersed in, energy is speeding up. It's a lighter type of energy. Lighter meaning it's filled with more light, but it also feels lighter. It's less dense.
Right.
And the slowing down, the heavier slowing down just doesn't work. And if you notice, handwriting notes just seems to become a lost art, too. It's just not something that really is practical anymore or fits with the energy. It can be done on a rare occasion, but for the norm, it just doesn't work.
Well, I agree. I can hardly write a letter anymore at all.
Yeah.
But there are some people who, like my 100-year-old aunt, who sort of requires it. So I need to sit down, but I have a very hard time with that. And I can see from what we're talking that would be... Why? Because we sort of moved beyond that.
Yes. You're sitting here trying to write something, do something so slowly, and meanwhile your energy is light years ahead of that. You're already your energy's already moved on, and yet you're making yourself sit and do this slow form of energy communication.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know.
Yeah. Can you talk about the energy speeding up and how everybody is, you know, all of my spiritual friends and so forth all say the same thing, that we are in a different, it is a speed up. Maybe it started with the harmonic convergence, possibly, in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a spiritualist, and she chose to make her exit exactly at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like the harmonic convergence had somehow a beginning point to all of this. Is that something that you understood, or?
Yes, that was exactly precisely coincided with some of my major connective experiences with the Source. So the harmonic convergence was an opening. It was an opening in which higher dimensional energies poured into the planet, poured into us, and we assimilated a lot of them. They surrounded us. They bathed us. And those that didn't assimilate them still, we're surrounded by them. It was the beginning of a shift. Some new energies came in, a new opening. And that opening remained to some extent. It was very, very wide open at that time, and it closed down somewhat, but there's always been that flow now since then. And there's been other times since then, too, where there's been openings again, where this higher energy has come in. When I say higher energy, I mean what it can be referred to as a faster energy or a higher dimension, a lighter density. And what that means is if you think of or visualize energy as particles bouncing back and forth, we know that what we perceive as solid are slower moving waves, slower moving particles. So if you have particle A and B vibrating back and forth, you know, like they each go out at the same time, they each come in at the same time, they're just vibrating like that. And what we see as solid vibrates slower, and what we see as, quote, empty space or air vibrates faster. Mm-hmm. What's happening here as was this what we call time moves faster, is this speed of vibration is accelerating. It's getting increasing. So the energy or what we're feeling feels lighter, filled with more light, because as things, you know, the speed of light is very great. The vibration in the speed of light is very, very high. Light is a much higher vibration than, say, you know, a solid or what we perceive as a solid. Everything's still moving. It's not really a solid. It just, we just interpret that frequency that way. So as this becomes the predominant movement on the planet and within our experience, it feels to us as if things are moving faster. And in truth, they are, because the vibrations are moving faster. And time is a man-made concept. Time is not a real, linear time is not real. It's something that was made up on this planet to, I guess you could say, enhance or within this experience. The whole experience on this planet is made up and created by us. But time isn't real, so now we have something that is a vibration that's moving faster, and it's actually being perceived as out of time. So
out of time. Did you say out of time?
Out of time. Out of the time as we know it. So therefore, we say time is moving faster because we're perceiving something out of time. And it's not that time is moving faster. There's the vibration. The actual vibration, the frequency is higher, the vibration between these two particulates or points is moving faster, and we perceive that or feel that as time is moving faster. We're actually moving faster. We're vibrating faster. Everything's vibrating faster. And this man-made concept of time, since it's not a vibrational concept, it's really a man-made thing. It's as real as a word that we make up. It's not a real thing. It's not moving with us. It's not increasing. And as we move further into higher frequencies and higher vibrational frequencies and faster vibration, the concept of time is going to drop away, this concept of linear time, and we're going to start to experience more and more in our day-to-day or moment-by-moment existence what we call simultaneous time. And that will be, where past, present, and future are all simultaneous. We're not going to feel that there's a past that was, a future that will be. We're going to be feeling a present moment, and it's going to have the possibility of having come from or having come from, burst out of a type of energies which we formerly may have referred to as the past. And it will also have the feeling of having multiple possibilities that are manifesting at the same time that we formerly referred to as the future. But it's all going to be within this container of now.
Right. So, that reminds me of Seth back in the day when Seth Speaks and all the Jane Roberts works came out, that He referred to that simultaneous time concept and how there were probable realities. And how we can, and that we are living all of them.
We are.
Yes.
We're not.
Alternate realities, yeah.
Right. You are, okay? There's so many dimensions to you. So first let me go back to that there's one being. And this one being has an infinite being with no end per se, and this infinite being can split up its awareness, its experience, in an infinite number of possibilities, of which you are one. Now, the catch is the one possibility you're experiencing right now as Kate is one. If you imagine yourself as a circle, you're one teeny sliver of the circle. There's zillions of other slivers there, and they're all Kate. And they're all experiencing right now. But see, your job, if you want to call it a job, your mission is to experience this particular aspect of Kate fully. Not to necessarily experience the aspect that's right next to you. No, that's another aspect of you or sliver of you that's handling that. you are experiencing the aspect that you are experiencing. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Everything is perfect. This is where you are. This is what you're supposed to be doing, and you're doing it. You're experiencing
right.
it. But that doesn't mean that you're not experiencing all these other things, and that's not you. And if you do get your vibration, raise your personal vibration to a certain level, you can begin to cross these little slivers, which is the word I use. You can cross them, and you can begin to move into the parallel experiences of yourself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you won't be living them, per se, because your job is to live the sliver that you're living. But you will be able to glimpse them, experience them, and see a different life. See, like, oh, you know, all of a sudden you've got a different, something different, a different life. And most of the time, there's the same people in it, or you know, a lot of the same people. It's just that something different's unfolding. And these people, though, of course, are different in their sliver.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a fascinating concept, and it can go... It's an infinite number in. I call that in. Okay, you can just go to infinity in, and you can go to infinity outward, which is the largeness of us, you're moving into the oneness and this vastness of us. So there's all these concepts and these thoughts about that we're defined, that we have an identity, that we have a physical body, that we are, you know, I am Amy, you are Kate, you are Joan. It's a concept. It's a made-up thing. It's something that we've created so that we can experience the Earth experience and, you know, gain from this diversity. And that's really it. And as we're moving, our energy, you know, the overall energy is moving to a faster vibration, a higher density, lighter density, was filled with more light, that is going to lessen. We're going to become more and more aware of our larger, expansive self. We're not going to feel that we're just so contained within a physical body. As the dimensions get higher, there are no physical bodies. There's what people call, we refer to, I shouldn't say, as light beings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard that term. Light beings have no physicalness about them. They're beings of light. That's what we are too. But we experience ourselves as having physicalness right now.
Right. I have to tell you that, remember before the show, I wanted to tell you something that happened to me recently. I was flying to my 100-year-old aunt's birthday party, and up in the plane, I was looking down at the clouds and not too many, yeah, just looking down at everything, and suddenly I saw trillions of little sparkles of light that were continuous. It wasn't just a glimpse of it and then it faded. It
uh-huh.
was millions of little beings of light, sparkles of light, but it seemed like they were alive. I mean,
yes.
they were alive, and,
yes.
and they were not, they were... You know, when you talk about beings of light, I think that those little things were beings of light. And
those little things were us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's what we are. We're beings of light. We just don't perceive ourselves that way because we are within a certain dimensional vibrational frequency that allows us to perceive ourselves as heavier, per se, having a physical body. That's part of the experience we've been having, but that's now changing. We're going to be perceiving ourselves as beings of light, more light-filled, more and more and more. And
yeah, I think that's what that was. I think
yes.
that's what that experience was.
Yes, and what you perceived was these pinpoints of light. We're all pinpoints of light on this overall, or in this overall matrix, this soup, this giant, because of the way we understand things, I'm going to use some of these words that we understand, and I'll say entity, because we understand an entity as something that has consciousness. So I always like to visualize this entity as an amoeba, because an amoeba has no shape, and it really has no definition. You could put it, it's like gelatinous. It kind of spreads all over, and it can just, you know, it takes the shape of its container. So say we have this giant amoeba. Everything that is part of this giant amorphous type amoeba thing. We are all sparkles and pinpoints of light in there. And this is a lot of what you were seeing. It sounds like what you were seeing. So you were actually tuning into. You probably, I don't know how, but you kind of zoned out of the typical earth plane and your frequency went higher. And it allowed
it did,
you to see. Yeah.
Now, my dear friend saw those kind of lights at our daughter's wedding, and she perceived them as angels.
Ah.
Because
yeah, I was wondering.
She said they were all over the church. She said they were bouncing everywhere. She was just fascinated with them.
I mean, there is a dimension we refer to as angels, but again, angels a human made up word. It's a human concept. It's just another dimension of being, of light beings. And they are, if you imagine like a spectrum, like a thermometer, just for our visualization purposes, going up, they're just at a certain point on the scale. That's all. They're
operating at a higher frequency.
Yes, they're vibrating at a higher frequency. And they're able to come into our awareness more easily than some of the beings that are vibrating even higher than that, because they're really, you know, vibrating very highly. So because we're able to experience these beings, we have come to know them and label them as this term, angels.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, they're not physical, but then again, either are we.
Right. No, we're not. We're not. The physical part of us is an illusion. But see, we don't live our moment-by-moment existence thinking that. We live our moment-to-moment existence thinking we're physical. But that part's changing. We've always thought that we, in order to get from point A to point B, we have to take our physical body, put it in this car, and we have to go somewhere or some other mode of transportation. That's changing. We also think that in order to do something, we have to, type something out on a keyboard, or we have to write something out, or we have to move something around. Well, that's changing too. Things are just going to show up more. We're going to be able to intend them energetically, focus on them, and they're just going to just shift. They're just going to move. They're just going to happen.
It's very, very interesting because there are I have in my life, besides these light beams, I've just at different times in my life, I've seen little gnome figures that lived in the rocks, let's say.
Ooh.
And I have seen flashes of light in the woods, and I believe that they were fairies. And but once again, you know, you're saying they are us, and they're not really different. They're not really separate from us, so we label them angels, we label them fairies, we label them gnomes. But in reality, they are in a different dimension, though, entirely. There's no doubt about
yes,
that.
Yes, their energy, their frequency is in a different dimension. Everything is a vibrational. This entity that we are, this big entity that we are a part of, or actually we are, is a vibrational entity. And so and there's different aspects of it because it can, it's unlimited in what it can do. It can experience, or just to put it into terms that we'll understand, divide itself into varying frequencies. And different frequencies are experienced differently. And so we are one frequency. We experience things closest to the frequency that we are. And but we experience them different than ourselves. So when you say everything's us, it's not us as far as it being you, Kate, or me, Amy, or you, Joan. It's us as far as that we are not Kate, Amy, and Joan. We are this larger being.
Right.
There's only one being that exists, really. Everything else is made up by the one being.
But what you had said earlier, and you were talking about staying in your own, you know, living in your own little slice of whatever.
Uh-huh.
But don't you think, too, that we are gathering?
Gathering?
I mean, I have a sense of all of us. I won't say all of us. Certain ones of us who are really into this the whole spiritual thing, we seem to be gathering on the internet. And when you were saying your circle, your pie,
mm-hmm.
your pie, I call a pie,
mm-hmm.
Then I almost saw those clustering together.
Okay, I think I know where you're going. It's not so much of a gathering. It's that those of us that tend to be more spiritual are vibrating at a certain frequency. And the vibrational frequencies are attracted to one another. And the internet, being that it's all light information, is vibrating at a higher frequency than the less, you know, than the rest of the world, the off the internet world, the more dense world that vibrates at a lower frequency. So those of us that have moved into or vibrate or, you know, align with or are somewhat attuned to this higher vibrational frequency are attracted to the internet. We're drawn together. I don't feel that it's a purposeful gathering. It's a natural phenomenon of like vibrations pulling like vibrations.
And that happens more easily online. Kate and I belong to a mastermind group. We've all been together for over a year now.
Uh-huh.
And we're all over the world and whatever. But it has always fascinated me that we are all interested in spirituality and we didn't know each other well before. You know, it's like we pulled together and we're all, at that frequency.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's why you pull together. If you were
right,
not,
but we didn't, not on purpose.
Well, on some level, you see, you're thinking with your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is so small, and it can only grasp a few things. As a matter of fact, a way to test this is, if you pay attention at any given point when you're doing something, you'll notice you can only really pay attention to two or three things effectively. Beyond that, you have to drop one off to pay attention to a new one. So the conscious mind is so limited. Whereas the unconscious mind and the higher energy part of you has unlimited capacity for processing and experiencing. So, yes, there were parts of you that were very aware of the frequency you're vibrating at and attracted other like frequencies. It just was a natural thing. It was not something you had to give thought to. It really could not have happened any other way. It would have violated the laws of the universe and physics.
Mm-hmm. I just think that the people we're attracted to on the internet are kind of like our karmic, we have karmic relationships with them.
Yes and no. It's really more of the frequency being the same. It's not so much. There are certain energies or aspects of this one entity, one being, that do tend to experience what we call the earth, the life together. They're members of an energetic collective, so to speak. And they basically show up together to experience together. For example, if you have, I'm going to make this real simple, if there's 1,000 entities, 1,000 energy beings in your collective, and out of those 1,000 energy beings, 3 are going to experience the earth plane and experience being physical and experience this existence to experience contrast and all that. The rest of them are up in the non-physical realm, but they're still very much a part of you and connected to you. It's just that when you come here, you start to operate in this small consciousness, so you tend to be less aware of them, but they're there and they're very much a part of you. And out of that collective, that 1,000 people, there's always going to be parts of it that are going to come together to experience this earth experience. It might not be the same exact 3 pinpoints of energy, but it'll always be some. So we always have a feeling of familiarity with certain, we tend to be attracted to and tend to have in our life more these energies, these sparks of energy, these people that are part of our own energetic collective. And, you know, that's kind of what you're experiencing. I don't know if I would say it's a karmic thing because there's so much meaning attached to the word karmic and there's so much meaning attached to, you know, so many words. it's kind of hard to use that word and be able to be that accurate and have everybody experience the same understanding.
Well, how about that the people we meet on the internet we have known before in past lives?
A lot of them, yes. The ones that you tend to find the most resonance with, the ones that you tend to be gravitating to, and you see, and you'll notice that you feel, I mean, as a spiritual being, you'll notice that you feel love towards everybody, towards all beings. But there's going to be a particular few you're going to notice that love seems to be magnified for. That you're just going to feel this when you see them or see something from them, you feel like your heart is just so expanded. You're just so, it's almost like you just feel like you're home. Yes, mm-hmm. Those beings, those people are part of your energetic collective.
Yeah,
they're part of your group, so to speak.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's so much more to this whole experience than we can understand with our conscious and rational mind. It just doesn't have the capacity to understand it. We can intuit a lot. That's why things like meditation are really useful, because it quiets the unconscious mind and puts us more into the body and puts us more into the intuition, the sense of knowing, the sense of feeling. And we can sense things then. We might not be able to express it in words, but we have a knowing. It's when we try to understand it or put these words to it that we end up falling short, because the words are... If you got something that's a mile long and you have only words that can describe an inch, you can't do a very good job of describing the whole mile, can you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's kind of like that type of situation.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So Julie's saying it in the chat room that sharing the energy is like being on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Conversationally, and I was thinking of that same type thing, the phrases that we use in an ordinary day that are strictly a statement of that same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, we know it, but we don't know it well. Or we know it, and we don't know it fully or something.
Well, we do know it fully. We don't know how to express it. It doesn't come out in our expression.
Right. Okay.
Because we're still so focused on living through the conscious part of our mind, our conscious experience. What this whole shift is that we're going through is it's going to shift us, ratchet us upwards, so that we're living more from this expanded part of ourselves. We're still going to have the conscious part of ourselves, but it's going to be less of what we're living through. And therefore, our experience is going to be way expanded. Our perceived abilities are going to be way expanded. These are things that are beyond the comprehension of the conscious mind. But once we ratchet upward or move upward so that we're not always experiencing through that, we experience these other things. We experience the stuff that it's not that it hasn't been there. It's always been there. It's that we're trying to squeeze it through they said in biblical times, the eye of a needle, but I always like to envision it as a funnel. If you imagine that there's a funnel on top of your head and the small point is coming down into your head, and then it opens up, and it just goes out, and it just continues out to infinity. So you got all this knowing, all this experience, all this energy, all this light coming in through the top of the funnel, but it has to be funneled down to this teeny little pinpoint-type hole. How much is going to come through? How much of that experience are you going to get in your conscious mind? Because your conscious mind is this teeny little hole. You're going to get very little. But as our vibration increases and our frequency increases and raises and rises, we're going to be moving upward to a higher point in that funnel, and it's going to be wider, because that's what funnels do. They get wider, and
yeah.
We're going to experience more.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a broader, larger experience. It's already happening. I mean, if you think about now, the things that you know, you just kind of have a sense of, and you have an intuitive knowing about, now and compare that and contrast that to that which you knew or felt 10 years ago, 15 years ago, even 20 years ago, you're going to say, oh, wow, there's a big difference.
Yes. Well, yeah. That's very true. Everything is different now than it ever was.
Yeah. So it's you're really being able to expand, you're experiencing more of an expanded part of you. You are infinite.
The crystalline grid, how does that play in?
Okay. Up till now, or currently, well, not even so much currently, but the traditional grid that's thought about, or matrix on the planet, is electromagnetic. It's been electromagnetic. Energies travel and through this electromagnetic type grid. If you think about it, electromagnetic is fast. It's an energy transmission, but it's slower than light. The crystalline grid is a light grid. It's really light moving. So light moves much, much faster than electromagnetic energy. And as we're moving into this higher dimension, this higher frequency, this less dense experience, this grid that runs through everything that we are, okay, and I'll talk, and there's holographic grids too. It's not just one grid. It's grid upon grid upon grid, all the way down to our tiny little atomic level, all the way up to, you know, beyond the Earth, all the way into the whole experience of what we call the universe or the whole one being. So this is, you know, but put that aside for now. The crystalline grid is a grid of light. It's a grid of much faster moving frequency, much faster moving energy. And it is the grid that is replacing the electromagnetic grid that we have lived in. And it is that grid, that coming into being of this fast moving light energy, that is giving us the experience of time moving so fast. And things just like we blink and things they're gone. Where did they go? What happened? You know, all of a sudden it was Monday. Now it's Friday. Where'd it go?
I thought that was because I'm old.
No.
Well, you know, that's happening to the very young. It's happening
Is
to
it
the very
really?
Young.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And you have your babies and children being born that they're calling crystalline. These babies... You had the indigo ray babies. The indigo ray was a transition between what we call the electromagnetic grid and the crystalline grid. They were kind of like holding and opening a space. The crystalline energy babies are the energy of the crystalline grid. And they're there to hold the opening for the crystalline grid to manifest. They're actually like little portals. So I don't necessarily have all the words to describe that, so I'm not going to try because I'll not do it well. But so that's really what the crystalline grid is. It's what we're evolving to. And when the grid, the planetary grid, the grid that we are a part of, the grid that runs through everything, is crystalline, what we experience as time will be much more simultaneous because it will just be so fast that the concept of linear time won't be able to exist.
Yes. Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we talking hundreds of years? What are we talking about? I'm still thinking on a concrete basis here.
I don't know because you're asking me in a linear time concept. I don't think it's hundreds of years at all. I think it's something a lot shorter, like 5 years or less.
Wow.
Yeah, but then again, you're asking me on a linear concept to define something that I don't experience in a linear time way and to put into linear time, and it's really not a translation. You know, I need kind of like somebody to make a dictionary about a translation. Yeah, but... There isn't, so I don't know how to translate that. I don't. So let's put it this way. It's soon. It's soon, and it's a lot sooner than you might realize. And because it's a speeding up of, or feels like a speeding up of this time, or a compressing of past, future, all into the one now, it's going to almost feel like, once it's happened, like it just happened. It's not going to be hundreds of, an experience of hundreds of years.
It's probably also going to feel like it's always been, once it happens.
I don't know the answer to that.
I just feel like that.
Maybe. Maybe. That's possible. Why not?
Yeah. It's
yeah.
funny because right at this moment at home, there is this tremendous thunderstorm going on. So if I'm knocked off, that you'll know why.
Okay. All
right. Oh, my goodness. You're really having energy moving there, huh?
Oh, it is a tremendous storm. And
wow.
I haven't seen, I mean, we've been having rather wild weather all summer, but nothing like this. It's like huge, you know, lightning bolt, and it's all over around here, and yeah, so I'm just sort of hanging out watching it. It's pretty cool, and I think it's,
wow.
It's reflecting what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Kate, you have that experience often on this show.
There's something going on to reflect it, yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That is. That's wonderful. I love that.
Oh.
I really love that. That's great.
Yeah, thunder and lightning is just such a powerful expression of energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is. You know, it's pure energy just moving. And it's, you know, that's why when we just sit and we just watch a thunderstorm and we watch the lightning, we literally feel just lifted out of our physical bodies. We feel transported to a higher dimension. And we're really watching the flow of energy. Just
yes.
with energy. And it's just amazing. And a part of us recognizes it as us. You know, that's us. We're this flow of energy. And it just feels very familiar in some ways.
Yes. Kind of an ancient remembering. Well, you know, it's all the senses are being used to watch a storm. If you see it, you hear it, you feel it, you smell it,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel a tingling on your body when the strike, when that lightning comes too close, which
mm-hmm.
which I would say it is right now. So
oh.
it is very and all those negative ions,
right,
really making you feel good,
right. Exactly.
Yeah, I used to work somewhere where everybody would go outside during a storm and stand on the porch to what they call collect the energy.
Yes, that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Yes, it's like having a concentrated dose sent right to you.
Yeah, yeah. And,
but I don't want that dose to come through your telephone, so do be careful.
Well, this isn't a landline. So.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's my iPhone, so it's nothing's going to hit the phone, but it could hit the electrical system. But even
right.
so, my computer would last another 2 hours, so I think we're okay.
Okay.
And besides that, we only have 1 minute left in the program.
Oh,
right, right.
Another
Do we want to
hour.
Take any questions? Were there any questions?
Did you want to... give us a few moments, even 5 minutes of the, because this show doesn't just close down in 1 minute.
Oh, okay.
You,
it's not going to cut you off?
No, no. So if you wanted to do a little channeling, say, of whatever you wish to, like even the crystalline energy or whatever comes through, we would really appreciate that.
All right. Well, let me see. I've got to bring the collective in because I've kind of been accessing them, but I've not really brought them through. So let me see if I can do it at this point. All right, I'm going to put the phone down so I can just kind of like focus for a moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to put it on the speaker so I'll still hear you. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, we are here. Amy's still here somewhat with us. What would you like to ask?
Where are you?
Where are we?
What dimension?
No dimension, per se. We're just energy. We don't necessarily look for a dimension. We just experience this non-physical energetic part that is broader or larger than that which you experience. So I think dimension is a human concept and term. I don't think it's one that we actually would choose to assign to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, you are in the space that we now occupy.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of different energies that, if we just learn to tune into them, we can bring them into our existence and our experience and just our reality.
Yes, they already are there in your experience, in your existence. It's just that your ability to feel them, see them, know them, grasp them isn't big enough yet. Because you're using a vehicle, your conscious mind, which is it only can handle small things, and you're trying to see something that's large, and it doesn't work. You have to be able to look at the larger thing from a larger perspective or a larger container, so to speak. So it's not going to come from understanding. It's not going to come from being able to put something into words. It's going to come from more of an inner knowing. Because when you start looking at things and experiencing things from a larger part of you, it's more experienced as a knowing. And it's not necessarily given words or even a concept for you to assign to it. It's more what you would call intangible.
Yes. What part do animals play in our lives?
Animals. Animals are wonderful. They're of course part of you, the same one energy that you are. We're all part of this one energy. They are an aspect of you that is present, that is created to constantly remind you of wordless communication, of just being, of just feeling. Human beings tend to think of animals as less smart, less intelligent, and that's really not the case. They really are probably more aware because they're not stuck trying to put everything into concepts and words. They experience. And I'm sure you've experienced being in a particular space and all of a sudden your animal comes up to you and just knows. And your animal just sends the perfect energy to you and just sits there with you and just communicates all this love and you get it and your vibration just lifts and there's no words spoken and there's no necessarily anything done. The animal just sends you and radiates this energy that's just perfect. And they're really here to kind of keep us reminded of our energy nature.
And they do it so well.
Yes. They do. They do. And they really ask for nothing in return, which is beautiful, which is very, what a higher energy would do, giving and loving unconditionally. It's the human that has the problem with the loving unconditionally, that always sometimes seeks things in return. But animals aren't stuck there. They're beyond that. They're really a lovely, I almost want to say gift that's created, that we created to experience here with us.
Yes, I not only have two dogs that are lying here right now, but I have a bullfrog that lives in the basement. And he is just so radiant. He has this beautiful look. He's so full of gratitude whenever he gets an earthworm or a cricket, or whenever we give him these things. And just a wonderful, wonderful creature. Full of character, full of personality, and he just coexists with us, and we just
and
love
him.
And
he has a lot of love, too.
Totally
loving. A
lot of
love coming from him.
Oh, he's so loving, and these dogs are, too.
Yes.
And any animal we've ever had has just totally been full of love, and they just snap you right into the moment, the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is exactly their quote job in being here with you, is to constantly bring you back to the present moment, constantly remind you of your energetic nature, constantly remind you of your loving nature and that you are love, and allow you to experience yourself. They reflect this higher part of you back to you.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and so when you relate to your animals and you just be with them, your vibration raises. And you notice that you move into a space of unconditional love, of just being this higher love energy. And it's just so, so expansive and so healing. It's just a wonderful, wonderful gift.
And when you, when I get, and with them, I feel a pulsation in my body that seems to reflect that healing energy.
Yes. Yes.
Joan, do you have any questions?
No, I'm just fascinated. I'm just listening. Totally fascinated. I love the animals part, too. I'm sitting here with one bringing me back to the present for sure, scratching on the door as I talk. But just fascinating. Really, yes. What a subject.
Yeah, I think it's... I feel sorry for people who don't like animals.
Oh, goodness. I can't imagine. I can't imagine our world without them.
Well, I think the people that don't like animals are those that tend to be more stuck in the lower expressing vibrations of themselves.
Yes.
And they're just not willing to allow themselves to move into the higher vibrations. They may feel threatened by feeling this unconditional love, this love for all beings, which you do start to emanate and you do start to radiate when you become one with your animal, when you have an experience with your animal. And there are people that are fearful of feeling that. It's unknown to them. It's not something that's familiar. They're used to being and operating in the lower energies, so they resist it. And an expression of that, in further expression of that, are those people that are even cruel to animals. They are very fearful of that higher vibration, and they just don't want it around them at all, and they push it away and they try to damage it. They're not realizing that they really can't damage it because the animal is not really physical. The energy of the animal is energy, and the physical is just kind of a temporary housing at the moment.
Yeah, I have noticed that, especially with deer. We have, sometimes there'll be herds of deer that move through here, and then when you see them and once they've moved through, it almost feels like a dream.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, deer are a beautiful energy. They're just such an ethereal type energy. They're just lovely. And yes, very dreamlike. Yes. They leave that in their wake. That's their gift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a beautiful gift that they leave. And so, yes, you know, after the deer have gone through, you can just kind of feel this energy. And if you go outside, you just will feel a different vibration. And it's just, you can just immerse yourself in it, and it just feels so good.
Yeah, there's nothing like that, really. But yeah. It's a different feeling with deer than it is, say, with the dogs. Or mm-hmm. even the bullfrog. There's a different energy to each animal.
Yes.
Oh, I told you, I think, Kate, but I'll repeat it. When we were at Seabrook the last time, we saw a mother deer nursing an infant. And you talk about powerful. I mean, I still can see that just as if I'm sitting in front of it right now.
Mm.
I had mm-hmm. We just happened upon her, you know. We didn't disturb her. We were in the car, and we were driving very slow because we were counting deer that night. But just, you know, what a powerful thing to see.
Yeah.
And the little deer's legs were still wobbly, you know,
oh.
like a newborn. Just touched my soul.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. We have an old deer that lives here, has chosen to live here. And she's pretty old. We've lived here 20 years, and she was here 20 years ago. And we thought that maybe she was too old to have any more babies. And suddenly she shows up with a little wobbly fawn, as you say.
Aww.
And she was showing her off. And I also believe that certain people have the St. Francis effect, where people, like my husband especially, draws animals to him. He
uh-huh.
understands them. Like the deer,
uh-huh.
this particular old deer will come right up to him. And the frog loves my husband totally. Even he likes me too, but he really loves Tom. And I just say that he has the St. Francis effect. He really
yes.
does.
Yes, I've seen my daughter do that.
What is meant by the St. Francis effect?
I think I made it up, but I'm not sure. It just means that he has a way that St. Francis had of drawing all the animals to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And that they love him immediately. They respond to him. You know, how St. Francis had the birds sitting on his shoulder and surrounding
mm-hmm.
him and all the animals. And there were miracles that occurred with St. Francis and the animals.
Right.
Little miracles. Also with plants and beautiful flowers.
Right.
That would arrived out of nowhere, fields of flowers as he would walk through. So
I've seen my stepmom walk out in the yard to feed the birds and had them land on her arms.
See, she
totally
had it.
Trusted her. Yeah.
She just had that.
Totally.
That's wonderful, yes.
The animals sense that. I think they know on a plane higher than us, maybe, but they know who they can trust and they are drawn
yes.
to. They're
yes.
like you're talking about, Kate. Like, yeah.